November 27th, 2017, it's a Watt from Pedro show. Watt for Pedro show on a Monday. Trippy time for an edition, but something went haywire. And yesterday, I was supposed
was
to
it,
do that.
It was my fault, wasn't it?
Well, we just had wrong phone number.
Right.
Anyway, you heard my guest there, people. We'll see Brother Matt Wednesday, but today it's just me, but not man alone. Through the miracle of those engineers from Estonia with their Skype invention, I get to have Gareth Sager, who's just tell me, been living in London for 40 years. But we'll get into your whole story. We started off with John Coltrane doing Ogunda off the expression. And then brand new album, 88 tune pianos.
88 tune dreams.
Oh, dreams, that's right. But it's all... Okay. I fucked up, sorry.
All subliminal sketch.
You know what I just saw was that fucking crazy movie that Dr. Seuss made. The Terwilliger, the fingers. He makes all the little kids practice and shit.
I don't know it.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. Well, it bombed, you know, really, really bad.
Oh, dear.
If you had a chance. Something about Terwilliger, you know, this is guy, he has these kids play practice piano, like one gigantic piano with hundreds of kids just doing chopsticks all the fucking time. It's a nightmare, you know, some plumber saves the day. Theodore Geisel, I think his name was. San Diego guy. Anyway, Everything is a Blessing off the new album. 88 Tune Dreams.
You know where I heard Everything is a Blessing? I heard that from a Sikh taxi driver in New York said that to me, and he'd been living in Birmingham all his life, and then he moved to New York. Well, so that's where that comes from.
You're not talking the Alabama one.
No, I'm talking about a Sikh.
No, but you said he went to Birmingham.
Oh, no, Birmingham, you know, in what they call in Britain the black country.
Okay.
The Midlands, where heavy metal was invented. Black Sabbath.
Oh, that's right.
Led Zeppelin.
Mott the Hoople.
No, Mott the Hoople are a funny sort of, they're a made-up band. Nobody, they're like a boy band. This producer, Guy Stevens, sort of, they're his creation.
The guy
that went on to produce London Calling, this guy called Guy Stevens.
Okay.
Mott the Hoople sort of were invented by him. Ian Hunter had been around for years. Ian Hunter's about 100.
Yeah, I think he's living in Connecticut now. He plays with a couple of the Blue Oyster Cult guys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyway,
We
got one in Alabama, and you know who's famous from there? Sun Ra, Sonny Blount.
Oh, we're from Alabama, Sonny Boy Blount.
That's right.
Papa Ra, as Don Cherry used to call him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you ended up being in a band with his daughter, huh?
Well, yeah, I met Nana through, I really encouraged the Slits to really get into jazz, and they loved this Cadona album by Don Cherry.
Yeah.
So they were on a lot of money, Island Records. So they had this tour. Don asked for the most enormous tour support money, which he got. And because these folk Slits were a rock band, he brought Lou Reed's backing band with him as his band. And they were the sort of guys that had played on the Bells, the Lou Reed album called The Bells, where the girls wanted like something that sounded like Cadona. I don't know if you know that album, but it's very ECM. It's like the beginnings of world music. And that's what they were hoping for. But they said they got these guys that sort of, you know, did 20-hour jams of, you know, Lou Reed's Heroin. So anyway, Don brought Nana with him on that tour, and she was about 15. So when I got Rip, Rig and Panic together, Bruce Smith, who has an incredibly similar accent to you,
he's a U.S. guy, right? That moved. His daddy was a painter or something.
His dad was the man of the year in San Francisco in 1960.
Okay,
he was an abstract painter, Hassel Windybank Smith. I think his stuff is sort of pretty popular now. Anyway, Bruce suggested Remember Nana, and we got, you know, she came over. She's got friends with Ari, and she just sort of joined us. So yeah, and then that led on to us.
You know what? I can give you a little aside. There was a cat too in that band named Springer.
That's right.
He's with Danny Frankel right now in the desert here. A drummer friend of mine who actually played with Lou Reed on drums.
Wow.
Small world. Can we go back to the beginning? again, right. your first musical memory that you can still have, that you still have.
Well, because I was from Scotland, you would hear bagpipes a lot, you know, and I'd go to this amazing thing called the Tattoo in Edinburgh, and you'd have this incredible moment where up on the battle ramparts, this sounds terribly romantic, but it's totally and utterly true, you would have, at the end of the night, you would have a lone bagpiper sort of stuck on what looked to a five-year-old like me on the cliffs. If you YouTube it, it's probably there somewhere. But you've got to remember, this is the 60s. Okay. So, yeah, I was brought up with a lot of...
Was it like taps at a military base or something? Everybody's got to go to sleep?
Yes. Okay. It's like that. But have you been to Edinburgh?
I've played there many, many times.
Yeah. Well, you've seen the castle.
Sure.
The tattoo takes place right in the middle of the castle. And right at the end of it, they have this performance by the Lone Piper. And okay. It's incredibly dramatic. And just a spotlight comes on him. And you know what the bagpipes sound like.
Sure.
Sound like
sort of
early Velvet Underground. And,
and, sure. I've been playing at a pad called Sneaky Pete's, a place called Cow's Gate.
Right, yes, yeah, Cow's Gate.
It's below the High Street.
That's right, yeah, Cow's Gate, yeah. And the grass market. So you would hear a lot of that.
What about in your pad? Did anybody in your family play music?
They all play. Both my parents could play music.
Okay, so you got it in the house.
Yes, it's in the house. It's most definitely. And in Scotland, in the city, you know, you have people come around. But you've got to remember, people forget that lots of people still had a piano before the record player. People forget all this ancestry. We're so old. But, you know, people had a piano and people would come around and sing songs. You know, I'm old enough for that tradition to still vaguely. My mother never spoke a word of English till she was 14 because she's a Welsh speaker.
Okay.
And, you know, go to Wales and everybody would come around and sing in Welsh over a piano and all this sort of stuff. So real proper roots, traditional. The roots of the blues, actually, if you look at it. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
So that was your first instrument? Piano?
Piano. I was going to make a joke there. I did have a Ringo Starr drum kit that I broke in about 3.5 minutes.
Do you remember the first record you bought?
The first record I bought was we had things like Twist and Shout by the Beatles in the house, but I didn't buy that. I got a horrible feeling. It's the theme, the LP theme to Paint Your Wagon. How about that for being
on tour?
But there's a great song on that, Lee Marvin singing I Was Born Under One Star.
So it was an album. You didn't buy 45s?
Yeah, you know, like most people would try to pretend, you know, that. But, you know, 10 months later I saw the Rod Stewart in the Faces. I had an elder sister that was really into sort of reggae and everything like that.
Okay.
And she put everything, Every Picture Tells a Story. So, I heard a lot of stuff through her, really.
The Faces, so, Every Picture.
The Rod Stewart's for, you know, big hit album that had Maggie May on it. It's called Every Picture Tells a Story.
Yeah, the one I know is A Nod's as Good as a Wink to a Blind Horse.
That's the Faces. But Rod's solo career took off for the Faces. Okay. And he was the first guy to have a number one. On
yeah, they're mixed up with the Yardbirds, too, somehow. Yeah.
Well, that's Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
That's Led Zeppelin. And, you know, Ronnie Wood playing with Jeff Beck.
Yeah,
it was
managed
by Peter Grant.
I think he's on bass, though, right? He's not a guitar guy yet.
That's right. You're a bassy, aren't you?
Yeah, that's what I was lucky enough to end up on. So, do you remember, we were saying off air, your first gig? You're 11 years old, and it was Faces, right?
Yeah, the Faces. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely. And people forget that those bands were so, you know, people think Motorhead, but, you know, people used to have so many amps on stage.
Oh, yeah,
and the volume was incredible. That was, you know, really, I mean, obviously now with digital, you go and see, you know, some digital DJs, left field or something, and they can get their decibels up to God knows what, but, you know.
Really compressed.
Yes, it doesn't shake the, you know, balcony like things used to happen, you know, the whole place bouncing up and down just purely from the sort of, you know, Steve Marriott's guitar or something. So
Steve Marriott, incredible cat. Wow, over here I saw him with Humble Pie, you know. And
I loved Humble Pie.
That voice could cut through, and he was just such a passionate player. Little guy, man.
Yeah, All us good musicians are tiny.
Okay. Big man Mark Stewart, though.
Oh, yeah, well, he's not a musician, is he?
Uh-oh.
Well, that's not to discredit him. He wouldn't, you know, he likes to think of himself as a sort of, you know, ideas man, mobster.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He's too tall to be a musician, anyway.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to play here Waltz in an ill-suited chest of honors.
Wow, what a title. What
an idiot. Yeah, and then the honors is spelled kind of strange, too.
blue, blue. There's nothing I love more than lizards. The high mountain mountains are clapped down. Crush my lizard of a clapped down. Cause I'm clapped down. The splendid defender of lizards. The splendid defender of lizards. If you want one, you must just fall out of your forms. I need to make sure it's a good home. When rat bombs and ladder to keep warm, believe me. I'm a splendid defender of lizards. A splendid defender of lizards. I'm the guy with feelings for chameleons. I'm the guy that thinks about his clothes. And when it comes to the girls, I sure do give a hugger. I save a dozen levels of
see her, you'll know. She's like the snow.
Taken of stage, Elsbury of stage, Pelican, Craft Ale, £5. Pelican of stage, Haygate, Crane Hall. Tamsmead superpowers and probation worker zombies. Haygate estate. Craft Ale, £5. Pelican. Dawson's Heights, right to buy. Dawson's Heights, tear 'em down. Right to buy, move up north, out of sight. Right to buy, Dawson's Heights, Haygate, estate. Crane House, Pelican Estate. Aylesbury, Burgess Park, Old Dudgeon, Craftdale, £5. Haygate, estate. Tamsmead, rewind time, probation worker zombies. Thamesmead, Greenwich, Haygate, estate. Elsbury, Alderton, Craftdale, Pikewood, Pelican. Pelican West, Haywood, Moravia, Haygate, estate. Dawson's Heights, right to buy, out of sight, move up north, tear 'em down.
Évidemment, il ne s'agissait là que d'expériences sonores. Écoutez un peu ce que cela donne avec une vraie chanson. Voici Gilbert Bécaud.
Oh,
you had Scott there, and James, you know, James Williamson, you know, when I first heard that Raw Power.
That's what you saw, Raw Power, because we also did a gig there with Ronnie, All of Funhouse.
I didn't see that. You know why? I'm going to be terribly honest here, and I just couldn't help sort of feeling I might be disappointed. Isn't that terrible to say that?
No, because a lot of oldies acts are like that.
Yeah. And but then when I saw you guys do Raw Power, I thought, you idiot. Why the hell didn't you go to the Funhouse one? What an absolute moron. You know? So I apologize.
That's okay. We waltzing in an ill-suited chest of honors. And then we heard Maya and the Revolution. Hell yeah, with Come Back for More. Guided by Voices, Possible Edge, Arcs from Automatic Sam, The Breakfast Cowboy, Lizard Defender, Salty Do the Choice, The Snow, Grandpa's Ghost, Dawson Heights.
Grandpa's Ghost.
Yeah, they're a band out of St. Louis. Pretty good. It's mainly two guys. Can't remember their names, but I toured with them once. They're cool people. You know what happened? I was doing a version of, Sister Ray. Oh, and the fucking amplifier, it was up in Duluth with Grandpa Ghost opened up, and I was doing some bass solo and knocked the speaker box off each other, and they fell on my toe and broke it. You can't set a toe, man. You just got to ride it out. It's like a big fucking plum.
I know, because I'm a big sportsman, and I know that, you know, I used to break toes all the time and stuff. Oh. And nothing you can do. You just have to give it the time to get better, don't you?
Yeah. And then it's all, like, twisted up later. Okay, then Dawson's Heights, Some of My Best Friends, Paranoia from Seb and the Radics, Sea is the Sun from Tom Gallo, and finally, Chagrin in Madrid from your new album.
All right.
Okay, so how long were you in Edinburgh?
Until I was about 10, but as you can hear, I've completely lost my accent.
Right,
so,
and then you moved, like, southwest to Bristol.
Southwest. I'd never heard of Bristol. Okay. I didn't know what the hell it was. And that was, you know, real, you know, in the you know, that was like 1969, 1970. That's as extreme as moving from, people won't believe it, but that's the same as moving from France to Sweden. Really, the cultural difference between Scotland and southwest England then, that's how extreme it was.
No, I believe it, because at the around the same time, I moved from Virginia to San Pedro to California here, and completely different.
Yeah. And then sometimes people don't realize, I mean, that's a massive thing in building your character, that sort of thing. You know, you go literally from one world to another.
Right.
You know, in the long run, it helps you brilliantly be adaptable to meeting all sorts of different people and all sorts of things, because at a young age, you had to adapt. You know, not everybody was the same. And, you know, if you stay at the same place until you're 16, 17, you're pretty much sort of, that's you sort of modeled. But if you get a big break in the middle of it, then you realize the world is not, you know, and nobody used to move in the 60s.
Right.
Stayed in the same place, particularly in Europe.
UK. Well, why did it happen for you? It happened to me because my pop was a sailor, and Vietnam was a lot closer to Pedro.
Yeah. Fantastic. But so then Bristol, which
What was the reason for you having to move?
Oh, I can't remember. I wouldn't even know. It was probably financial problems.
Okay, but Bristol's really important because this is where you meet other music people, right?
Yeah, well, and then the great thing about Bristol is it is a proper one. It's probably in that time, it was Bristol, Liverpool and London, and maybe Birmingham, but particularly Bristol was a vaguely well-mixed ethnically city, you know.
Cosmopolitan.
I went to school with kids that were in Massive Attack and stuff like that, you know, and you certainly wouldn't get that in Scotland, so...
No, but right across the river is Wales, huh?
Yeah, across the Wales, you know, which is, you know... another kettle of fish.
but there's a connection with your mom, right?
My mom's from North Wales, which is, again, it's a very massive different divide.
Because I played cards
in South Wales, where they didn't speak Welsh at all there. But it was virtually outlawed. My mom comes from the very last. They teach Welsh at school now. They're really proud about it now and all that sort of stuff. But nobody spoke it when I was a kid.
Cymru. I played Cardiff this last tour, and they were telling me the big division between the north and the south.
Oh, massively. It's bigger, really, than between Scotland and England, really.
Wow. You meet some guys. You moved to this town.
And so what happens, actually, it's quite a good story, that there was two schools really close together, and one was for the sort of slightly brighter kids, the one that I didn't go to, and which was where Mark Stewart went, my friend Nick Shepherd that was in the Cortinas that ended up in Head with me, Rich Peel that was in Head, who does all the artwork for the pop group, and then I went to the school called Cottam, which is where Bruce Smith went to with me, Mark Springer went to, guys that ended up being in Susie and the Banshees and the Subway Sect and stuff. Wow. So we were really close to each other, our schools, and it was this famous thing you keep hearing that you'd go to gigs and you sort of recognise the same people at these gigs all the time. So you sort of started chatting to them. I mean, we were incredibly young, like you know, 13 I saw Bowie, 12 in fact, I saw Bowie doing the Ziggy Stardust tour. And then sort of round about sort of Dr. Feelgood turning up.
Oh, wow. General.
Yeah, yeah.
That guitar player, great. Incredible.
Really important. They were probably the real... And the other X factor for me was Alex Harvey, the sensational Alex Harvey.
I got to see him a couple times.
Yeah. Well, that's great you saw him.
There was nothing like that at that time.
Yeah. I mean, people like that, he was the real... You know, he's a very subtle root to the sort of roots of Johnny Rotten and punk and all that.
Sure.
Because he really was a genuine, tough guy that sung in his natural accent, didn't put on an American accent.
Yeah.
And, you know, he really spoke to, a sort of certain thing that wasn't being taught to by Yes and all these sort of, this weird... period ELP where all that sort of stuff suddenly, it's not a joke how weird that was, but the great thing was it meant these bands like Dr. Feelgood and Alex Harvey came through, and then they were the people, and I'm not going to say they spoke to sort of street people, because us lot weren't street, it was fantastic.
This Cortinas? Because I've read about these guys. I never got to hear them, but they were like homebrew, right? They're Bristol.
It was the same mixture. They had two members that were going to my school, a guy called Jer Valentine, a guy called Dexter Dalwood, who's now a very, very successful painter. And then they had two guys from the school that Mark was at.
Okay.
And Mark and I, we used to go up to the Roxy, this famous punk club in London, and they would play there. They got gigs there early on. And
what would you do? Take the train? Like, what's it called? Great Western?
It's so mad. We'd all get in a Volkswagen.
Oh, you would drive?
The dad, the father of the drummer in the Cortinas, who was 14, his dad would drive the band with the equipment with, say, me and Mark. Mark wasn't quite so large then. And... you didn't have to sit on the roof and roof rack. So there was like eight of us in the van with the equipment. And a bigger Volkswagen.
Oh, yeah, I had one, a VW bus. I had a 63.
No, you can't even work out, believe the logistics of how the hell we did it.
You're talking like a 55, 60 horsepower motor.
Exactly. Yeah. And we'd go up there and come back the same night sort of thing. But,
Oh, wow.
I'd gone up to London at 16 and seen... the Flaming Groovies and the Ramones. And that was the big breakthrough gig. That was the first, the Ramones playing the Roundhouse like that. And that was the real sort of moment where everybody kind of went, the Pistols had played before then, but that was a sort of moment where, of course, you realize in hindsight, there was only about 30 people in the whole audience that looked like punks.
Oh, sure. That's how it was in Hollywood, too.
Yeah. Sid Vicious and Viv Albertine came up to me and gave me a Sex Pistols handover. I was 16. I was said, fuck off. That's what you're meant to do.
Well, we're at the end of the first hour, November 27, 2017 edition of Wapford Pedo Show. Special guest, Gareth Sager. Hold tight for hour two. November 27, 2017. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
They just were fantastic. I presume you've seen that footage when they're just rolling around the floor.
I just saw the Terry York box thing from, what was it called, Numeral? These people out of Chicago.
I'm not much of a collector. I just sort of...
Yeah, I was on tour and they showed me, it's got all the Ork 45s in this book with all these pictures. Yes,
I've heard of it, yeah.
And I've heard the audio you're talking about, but I haven't seen any video.
Oh, no, there's a video. I don't know if it's on YouTube, I had it play behind a gig I did once with this great poet friend of mine, Jock Scott, and, you know, everybody, I think, was watching that much more than they were listening to us.
Oh, man. We start off the second hour with, from your new record, Slaughtered Science, and then Mold Omen with Brandishing Talons. Torture mocks once at every man's boredom from conformity contortion. Here's some stuff from Italy. I just did 11 gigs there. It got bit up by much mosquitoes. They call them Zanzara Tigre.
Were you in Bologna?
Oh, but I was in Bologna. I had two in Sicily. I had one in Sardinia. I had 11 Italian gigs. So Centauri with Alpha Centauri A, Blue from Alexander Delarge, and Agoxia Adolesce from, these guys are from Barcelona, Catalonia. Okay, so I fucked up there. And then finally, Eulogy to Lost Elegance from your new record. So
I'm really digging you plugging it, man.
I tell you, I come from, the 70s punk over here was very small. And so we never got a sense of it being a style of music. We thought it was just crazy way of your mind, another parallel universe. Yeah, whatever the band was into was there. That was the style. It wasn't like this marketing thing from record label. Yeah. I remember seeing a sticker on a television record. It said punk, and there was a little safety pin drawn on it. You know,
it's like,
what the fuck?
And it was El Marquee Moon.
Yeah, I think it was.
And punk record of all time.
Yeah. Trippy.
Mind you, I love Little Johnny Jewel. That was the one for me.
Yeah, the one where you flipped it over, right? Part one, part two.
Oh my God, what a magical bit of music that was.
Yeah, I've done it a lot. I guess plug it, but also I just want to share it, man. I want to show people. Because, something got lost.
Yeah.
Especially, those days, and things changed so quick in those days, and then they plateaued out, and so people have no sense of, it's hard for them to know, so they want to think about things like beats per minute.
I could not thank you more for that. I mean, that's really that's kind of been my aim the whole time. That was whole, if you listen to the first pop group album, there's that track Savage Sea.
Yeah, beautiful.
Piano on that, then there was always... That was the thing.
Loved that first album, Why, by Pop Group? Greg Ginn of SST and Black Flag. That guy used to play that in the office. It was like that all the time, man. He loved that album. It was very... and the Meat Puppet guys and the Husker Du guys, they listened to so much different stuff. Germs, you talk to Pat and Darby and... It was just such a wide thing. So in a way, it's just trying to let people know about what was going on.
That was really my raison d'etre, really, with the pop group, to sort of turn people on to all this other stuff that I dug. And, I just could never understand why people didn't go searching for other things. And, I only like this certain genre and all this sort of stuff.
Then the uniforms and humans get like that. We're going to hear Chapel Perilous. What do you think about that?
Great. Oh, yeah. No, that's it.
Thank you. to stay. Schizo like the nation state. How's my mental state? Schizo like the nation state. Changing face, different race, for different place, different time zones, titanium bones. How's my mental state? Schizo like the nation state. How's my mental state? Schizo like the nation state. Thank you.
the latest album that completely throws the classical punk out the window and goes straight back to, as I said, sort of some weird early 70s T-Rex.
Right. What he's talking about, listeners, is he's got another record in...
Yeah. And it is by Gareth Sager and the Hungry Ghosts, and it's called Juicy Rivers and the Railroad Earth. There you go.
Wow. And it's going to come, what, like February?
I think around about February, March. I'm not 100% sure.
And it's kind of about face of...
Yeah.
But you know what? It's just different vocabulary.
That's it. And what the great thing is, someone like you completely gets the concept that it's the same person that can speak in so many... hopefully different many voices, that turns people on to different things, and that's totally what it should be about. I hate sort of being, you know, put into a certain box, and this guy's, you know, a weirdo, or, you know, it's just no good.
It ain't. You know, it's about taking turns. I mean, especially if you've been around, if you're lucky, though, like I was, I got thrown into this movement, you know, and maybe I was coming out of arena rock, too. Because even though that there's some good music and bands coming out of there, the situation wasn't too creative.
Yeah.
You just sat in the dark, you know.
It was sort of old school, and that was the great thing that happened with, you know, punk rock. It was sort of opened up an incredible new and emotional thing. I think if you think for me, it was like the Talking Heads, the Ramones, the Voidoids, and Television. Were the really exciting stuff. I mean, they're pretty different, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and you guys had bands over there, too, like Throbbing Gristle and The Fall.
They all came a wee bit later, though. That's, you know, we'd already got our own sort of thing.
What about Cabaret Voltaire?
They're fantastic. Yeah, they played with us a few times, and they were most definitely, you know, they'd clicked onto Kraftwerk and all. They're, you know, that thing, we were really young, you see. So yeah. I think those guys are a bit older than us. So they've done more homework than us. So they knew about... We knew about Noi and things like that, but only sort of one track. These guys would have known much more. So, you know, we knew about our funny little areas. Like, Mark would have known, you know, a bit about dub reggae. You know, I knew a bit about classical with Stockhausen and John Cage and Eric Sarti and stuff like that. So these were sort of things we wanted to bring into the arena straight away, you know.
Sure.
We didn't want to sound like the Ramones, and so we threw it in straight away. But like Cabaret Voltaire, obviously knew about Kraftwerk and, you know, much rhythmical electronica that was coming out at that point, which is still not my favorite area, so I didn't gravitate towards it. But, you know, Nag, Nag, Nag by Cabaret Voltaire is one of the great records, you know, of any time. And he's an absolutely lovely guy, Stephen Malander. You know, he's a great DJ. If you ever need a...
I got to see them. They did. They actually came to SoCal with The Fall. The Fall came with Blur. Those guys, Cabaret Voltaire, came with Young Marble Giants.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I don't think... those original Voltaire guys have played together for a long, long time.
No. I think one became a BBC field recording guy.
Right, yes, he did. Yes, he's a real bright spot. Yes, you're
totally right. We're at the end of the second hour, November 27, 2017, Juan Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. November 27, 2017, it's the third hour, the Juan Pedro Show.
我爱你，亲爱的姑娘，见到你心就慌张，风吹着修长的头发，轻抚着我那已迷醉的眼，为了你找啊找，去寻找神秘的石头，为和你走啊走，从此不与我相见，我爱你亲爱的姑娘，见到你心就慌张，风吹着修长的头发，轻抚着我那已迷醉的眼。
Dancing chains, shining flow so cold, just separated, was leading me to you. I don't mind whether if you mind, then who will mind? Girl, you're not mine, not my animal. So
whose breathing step outside, could only fight with his own
这是各方老女人辣盖吃老酒，侬不要以为做个乐手，小姑娘就好随便吹吹手，好看啊看到侬别屁股就走，难看啊侬又不下去走，情愿不要走，听我爱乐手 QQ 群里在放丢的感受酒，月亮小组总会收到车上
Watt for Pedro show start off the third hour with Gareth Sager's The Touch of a Stranger's Skin. And then a bunch of stuff from China. I finally got to play in China last month. So from Bowie, I Love You Girl, the Crazy Stone theme song. Goshen with We Chat Danger, PK-14. They're like the granddaddies of that scene. One Man War, Pumpkins, Loss of Tongue, Street Kills Strange Animals, Spree, and the Top Floor Circus with Don't Join in the Top Floor Circus. And finally, Old Haunts, New Scenes, Gareth Sager from his new album. Let's talk about...
Are they all Chinese?
Let's talk about the new album. How did it come about?
I'll tell you the total truth. I was out with a friend of mine who gets credited at the end as a thank you. And, God, I can't... the guy that produced Birthday by the Sugar Cubes. I can't remember his name, but it's a great song. Do you know that song? Like Bjork's first breakthrough track? I can't remember. Anyway.
Sorry.
It's terrible.
Sugar Cubes, yeah. Iceland, yeah.
That's right.
And I remember I only got to play in Iceland once, and, like, nobody there looked like her.
Yeah. No, but isn't it amazing when you get off the plane and you see that landscape?
Oh, no, I liked it a lot, man. I liked it a lot. The land is one of a kind. I mean, you get to see one of the Teutonic plates there.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
So this guy you were talking with...
And my friend, and then they had another guy with him that used to work at the studio that my friend owned. But I'd done a fair bit of stuff with him. He was a bit of a sort of technical kind of engineer guy, you know, guy that fixed the desk when it went wrong. Yeah. But I used to say to him, why don't you come and engineer my track? I don't care who does it, you know, and he used to really like that, you know. And anyway, he said to me, he said, oh, listen, I'm working at a studio that's got a great piano in it. I said, oh, yeah. I said, where's that? He said, Abbey Road.
Wow.
And it was Abbey Road, Studio One. And I got in there after hours.
Sure.
And
we call it downtime.
Downtime, exactly. I think the next day they were doing the Harry Potter theme music in that very same studio. Wow. The biggest studio in Europe. With the, you know, on the piano where almost all the top classical LPs are made.
Sure.
And they just left the tape running, and I got on with it.
This album got done in one take.
It got take. I did two. I played for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And probably did about 35 tracks, and then I had to cut it. You know, make the album after that. But the good news for everybody is, about 6 months later, I got back in with another concept and went in with a friend of mine, Dave Wright, who was in Rick and Panic. And yeah. So there's a follow-on album to this one that is, again, in a sort of classical jazz vein, but actually more melodic. So I hope to get that out at some point next year. And that's got cello on it as well. All recorded at Abbey Road. So it's got the fantastic sound that 88 Tune Dreams has. You know, the sound is half of it, really.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Wow. So it was just providence. It was just luck.
Absolutely. I mean, it couldn't have been. I literally thought they were going to say, oh, I know this, you know, some studio, blah, you know, up in Willesden or something. And it was, you know, I got into the biggest, most famous studio almost in the world.
Yeah, what a trip. Let's listen to Shipwreck Rusty Birds. Thank you.
Thank you.
and we saw Sun Ra, and at that time, Holland had this incredibly liberal attitude to improvised musicians. So you could get £60 a week, which is a lot of money, if you could prove you're an improvised musician. And so they sponsored Sun Ra to come over. So he brought everybody he'd ever played with. But of course, I didn't know that at the time. Orchestra. So I heard the Sun Ra Orchestra was 67 people in it, which if you put its biography, is the biggest band he ever had. So I just completely thought that's what they did all the time. So it was hearing space is the place with seven baritone saxophone players. So it just go ba da da ba ba da da da, you know, and
you know Marshall, just, you know Marshall Allen is still touring.
Unbelievable, yes, 92.
Yeah, much respect. Huge inspiration. Let's tell people the last music we have for this edition. It was Shipwreck, Rusty Birds off your new record. Then Kurt Stifel, The Swing Shift with Old Pilgrim, Mailman with Girth Man, Danny Bard's You Would Die, Then I Could Eat, David Gerard, Upper, that's one of those things that make our what they call it, arpeggios, arpeggiator.
Appreciator,
that's it. Fuck. I tell you, I'm still learning your language. It's a lifetime mission for me.
That's Roman. That's Latin.
David Gerard. And then finally, Kara Singer with The Showgirl Is Not Past Her Prime. Apropos, I can't wait to hear this new rocking record and then the the other bookend of the
the bookend to the Abbey Road one. That's, you know, hopefully it'll be getting used on adverts all over the world, you know, and I'll be able to fly you in, Mike, to play bass on my new album.
Oh, okay.
Helicopter you in.
Helicopter. I did it one. No, I did it twice, and both with Stooges. Yeah, one was that pile of shite. Isle of Wight. Yeah, he pushed the amplifiers over. He tried to push the drums on Scotty, but Scotty pushed back.
Right. I can imagine who's stronger.
Yeah. Look, you got your son doing music, and so young people talk to you about this racket. What advice would you give to somebody younger?
Oh, you've got me in a corner there. Because I do believe, I think you've got to play from the very, like a top boxer, you've got to play from the very bottom of your base of your feet right to the top of your skull. You know, you've got to completely believe what you're doing. And if you're that committed, it doesn't really make you particularly applicable to many other, you know, jobs in life. So I don't know. I really don't know. If you really
believe, that's great. I think that's great advice.
That's it. And kind of don't go near it unless if you feel it that much, then there's nothing you can do about it. You know? Yeah. That's it.
I think that's it. What's the name of the backup band?
Oh, The Hungry Ghosts.
Yeah, The Hungry Ghosts. So when this comes out, can we talk again and just talk about that record?
100%, yeah, I'll get hold of Howard, and it's very much in the pipeline. I'm really hoping right about March, and I said it couldn't be more different to this one, but I hope that follow-up, the little sister album to this one, will be out this sort of time next year. I mean,
then we could talk again, man. I could talk to you forever.
We could talk about Humble Pie B-sides.
It's been the November 27, 2017 edition, Wapro Pedro Show. My special guest, Gareth Sager.
Thank you
so much for being on, truly. Everybody out there, keep your powder dry.